Marlon to come share the word of God.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I am very humbled to be before you this morning, so I just thank Pastor Vince for, you know, just sharing the pulpit. So I just give God the glory. So God has really, really pressed upon me this word that's about to come forth for the last 4 to 6 months. It's really been pressed upon my heart, saints of God. So as I speak this word, the first thing I wanted to discuss and wanted to say before we pray is, and this is a post that Pastor Vince gave, and it says, what is more important than going after and fulfilling the will of God for your life? Let's pray. Almighty God, we just come before you this afternoon just saying thank you. Thank you, Lord. We just, Lord, as we sing praises and worship to you, you deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, oh, Father, Lord. And we just glorify you and magnify you. You are worthy of that and so much more, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word begins to come forth, oh, Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that it will come forth in a mighty and powerful way, oh, Father, Lord. Lord, just decrease me, oh, Father, Lord. And increase, I pray that you are increasing in a mighty way, oh, Father, Lord. And I just praise your word going forth, that it will go forth in a mighty way, and it will do what you intended for it to do. In these and all these things, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles, if you can please turn with me to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. I'll give everybody a minute to get there. When everybody has it, if you could please say amen.
Amen.
We're going to do a little bit of reading this morning, but we're going to get somewhere. We're going to get what God is trying to give to us. Amen. So here a couple of pages turning. Exodus 32. We're going to start at verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make gods who shall go before us. And for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are the earrings of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with graven tools and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go down, for your people who you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed it and said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you. But Moses implored the Lord, his God, and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent, did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from the disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven. In all this land I have promised and I will give you to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord relented from the disaster that he has spoken to bring upon his people. Verse 15, then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with two tablets of the testimony of his hand, tablets that were written on both sides, on the front and on the back they were written. The tablets were the work of God. And the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise in the war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of shouting for victory or the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing that I hear." Verse 19, "And as soon as he came near to the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot and threw the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain." In verse 20, last verse that I'm going to read, "He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire in the ground into the power and scattered it unto the water and made the people of Israel drink it." So if I had to, since this is the foundational scripture that I'll read today, so if you want to put a title to this message today, I'm going to say, have we created or built a golden calf in our lives? So to explain what happened in chapter 32 of what was going on, I'm going to go back a little bit to Exodus 24. So when Moses was called by God to go out to the Mount Sinai, he was going to spend time with God. And it says that he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights is what the Bible says in Exodus 24. So when the people realized that it's been 40 days and 40 nights and Moses was delayed from coming down, all of a sudden, they said, well, we don't know what happened to Moses. We don't know if he was consumed. We don't know what happened. So that's when they talked to Aaron and said, well, build us this golden calf so that that golden calf could go before us. Pretty much forgetting about what God did for them to lead them out of Egypt. So build us this golden calf. And when they got the tools, they got the gold, and Aaron got the gold and built this calf, one of the scriptures, especially in verse 4, that really is just telling about this passage is, it says, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." So at that point, they replaced God. Forgetting of what God did, they said, this calf is what brought you out of Egypt, not the true and living God. And talking about going to verse 16, and it said, the tablets, which were the work of God, which Moses was on a mount speaking to God, and the writing was of God, and it was engraved in those tablets. And God was very infuriated, and rightfully so. And so Moses interceded on behalf of the people, though. He did intercede, and glory to God for that. But Moses was also angry when he came down from the mount. And those tablets that was the writing of God that symbolized that, he broke it at the base of the mountain, just like the Bible said. And that symbolizes the broken covenant that the people had done. That symbolized that. Amen. So as we look at this scripture, we can look at this, and this is a really, really clear picture of idolatry. And that's what we're going to talk about this afternoon. We're going to talk about idolatry. So we can say this is easy. Okay, yep, they worship other gods. They built this thing that they wanted to worship, so it's clear, okay, we're not supposed to do that. We're not supposed to build calves and all these things to worship. But we don't think about it that way, saints of God. We don't think that sometimes that people may, you know, that they may subconsciously build golden calves in their lives, and they may not even know. And so I'm going to talk about three things specifically this morning, which is all-encompassing, but I'm going to talk about three specific things. We're going to talk about worshiping self, self-idolatry. Amen. We're going to talk about personal goals and aspirations. Amen. And then we're going to talk about wealth and money. Those are the things we're going to talk about today. So the first thing we're going to talk about is worshiping self. The first word that comes to mind, which I studied, was called humanism, which is very interesting when I realized and I studied that. So I'm going to go ahead and read the definition to you. The definition is a rationalist outlook or system or a thought attaching prime importance to human rather than divine or supernatural matters. And I'll go ahead and read the Webster's Dictionary definition also. It defines this as a doctrine, attitude, or way of life centered on human interests or values, especially a philosophy that usually rejects supernaturalism and stresses an individual's dignity, worth, and capacity for self-realization. So when we look at it from that lens and that aspect, it says when a man is no longer directed by God, man replaces God with an idol of his own, which means worshiping self versus worshiping God. That the things that are most important to me is that's what's important to me in my happiness, my joy, the things that I want, my goals, my aspirations, all those things that are important to me, that's worshiping self. It's more important than what God's will is and what God's purpose is for my life. Amen. So no longer seeking the common good, but rather their own interest. And if everybody could go ahead and turn to Haggai chapter 1 for me. Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, and I'm going to read to verse 9. And the text says, oh, it's still a little bit turning. Haggai chapter 1. And the text says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your panel houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you have never enough. You drink, but you will never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he earns wages, does not put so does to put them in a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring a wood and build the house, that I might take pleasure in it and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts, because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. So this is a really, really telling scripture here to saints of God, because looking at this text, and just to tell you what's going on, then the people were just released from exile from the Babylonians. So when they were released, then the first thing that they did is build upon their own houses. It was like, okay, we're released, we're going to build upon our own houses. But as the text said, they were commanded, called to build the house of the Lord. And in verse 2, it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. I'm going to read that one more time. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say that the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord, even though God commanded them to. So it's easy for us to put it in context when God has commanded us and called us to do something to say, well, God, it's not time yet. It's not time for me to do yet. I got this 5-year plan, God, you know, and then I got to line all this stuff up, God. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to take care of all this. And then once I do all the things that I want to do, Lord, then I will answer your call. In verse 6, it says, you have sown much and harvested little, but you eat, but never have enough to drink, but you never have filled. You clothe yourself, but no one's warm. And then here is the one sentence that really drives it home. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. So you put it in the bag, you're doing all these things, but it has a hole in it. It's just falling out the bag. It's just falling out the bag. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you the glory. So the second thing I'm going to talk about is personal goals and aspirations. And I'm going to be very transparent here this afternoon with you. So, you know, as a lot of you know that I am in the military. So about a year and a half ago, you know, working hard at work, doing all of these great things and stuff like that, trying to work hard, trying to progress, move up the ladder, you know, whatever you want to call it. So it came a time to where, you know, I finally was working hard trying to get that next promotion. So I was working hard. And then finally, I got news that I got this good report, like the best evaluation I ever got. And I was like, this is it right here. This is it. You know, I'm going to get promoted. You know, this is great. So, but it was only one thing left to do. I had to take that promotion test, as, you know, a lot of y'all say. So I just want to make sure everybody knows. So as I was preparing myself and I went home, I had a family meeting and everything. I was like, hey, line everybody up. Like, here's the deal. For the next about 2 to 3 months, I'm going to be studying this professional development guy right here 7 days a week. And so if you come in the living room and you see the book open, What I need you to do is turn around and walk away. Walk away. Don't say, Dad. Don't say, hey, I need to talk to you. Nothing. Turn around, walk away. This is my purpose. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what's most important to me right now. And that's when God came to me midway through that process, midway through those couple of months. But it was 7 days straight doing that. And God says, you are dedicated to this professional development guy, reading this book to further yourself and try to promote yourself. But you put so much time into this God, and you put so much time to study for this promotion, but you don't have time to study my word. You do not have time to study my word, is what he told me. And immediately, when God convicted me and he told me this, I immediately just repented and said, Lord, please forgive me. Because at that point, saints of God, I was committing idolatry. I was idolizing my job. I was idolizing my career. I was idolizing my own self-interest. How can I hear what God is saying to me when I'm reading this book? How can I hear when God is telling me that there's somebody out there that needs to be the priest to the Lord, that priest to the gospel, and people need to be shown how God loved them, and I'm busy studying this book 7 days a week? How can I hear the voice of the Lord to be obedient to it if I'm so consumed in my own self-interest, is what God told me. And I immediately had to repent because I idolized my job. I idolized my own career goals and my own aspirations. And that was very tough to swallow, but it was the truth. And I just give God the glory for just for forgiveness. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. So as I go on to talk about the scripture and stuff like that, the next thing I'm going to talk about is let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it's going to be Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 9, and we're going to read from 9 to 11. Thank you, Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. In verse 9 says, what gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has put eternity into a man's heart, so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. Amen. So verse 9 is really, really telling, because it says, what gain has a worker from his toil? Just like the example I just gave you about the promotion testing. So it's not the fact that I was studying the guy. It was the fact that I replaced that promotion guy in my goals and my aspirations with God's will and what God wants me to do. That's when the idolatry, that's when it happened. So what gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. And I give God the glory for that. I give God the glory to think about eternity, not to think about the things that are temporal, but to think about eternity. Think about eternity, about people, and think about this glorious place that we're all going to go to one day. This glorious place. And to also think about the fact that of what God's will to want us to do, to preach the gospel and to tell others about this glorious place. And to tell them about how God is good to us and how that what he saved us from and what he's done in our lives. So to think about the things that are eternal. And I thank God for putting that on our hearts. Oh, glory to God for that. I perceive in verse 12, it actually says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them to be joyful and to do so long as they live. Amen. Amen. And the final thing I'm going to talk about is wealth can be a golden calf. The pursuit of wealth, and essentially when you look at it, again, it's all about what we talked about in Exodus 32, how the Israelites replaced God with the golden calf. If you replace the pursuit of wealth, of what God has put, if God has called you to do in your life, that's when you know that it's a golden calf, that is that you're worshiping wealth. That's how you know. So we went to a men's breakfast, which really, really blessed me. It was, and I met a man there, and when I met this man, he was from another country, like far east, another country. So when I met him, you know, we talked about, and of course, instantly he knew I was American. And once he found out I was American, then he was, and, you know, we started to talk about our jobs and stuff like that a little bit. And he talked about that he was had a cleaning contract on base, which I was like, wow, you know, man, that's pretty lucrative right there. That's a pretty lucrative job to have the contract on base. But immediately after he said that was, he said, God bless me with this contract because he has called me to go back to my home country to go preach the gospel. And I fly back there. Whenever God calls me to do it, I fly back there, back and forth, to preach the gospel and to reach those unsaved people. And that really blessed me right there. That blessed me that because he said he has these things that God has blessed him with, but he's using it for eternal things. He's using it for eternal things. So even though God blessed him with something that's temporary, he's using it for God's will and blessed in doing it for eternal things and for God's will and God's glory. Amen. And the next scripture and the final scripture that we're going to discuss is Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And the text reads, and as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, you lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is a clear, clear example of a man that replaced God. He replaced God with his wealth. This rich young man, he replaced him. Because think about this. Think about this, saints of God, of what this passage is saying. Jesus himself told this man, you lack one thing. Keep in mind, who said, you have like one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. He specifically called him. Jesus called him and said, sell everything you have and follow me. And the man was disheartened. He was disheartened because he worshipped his wealth. He couldn't. He went away sobbing because he worshipped his wealth. And I want to close by just saying that I know I talked about three specific things this morning about things that people make idols, talk about worship and self, maybe personal goals and aspirations, wealth and money, but there is a lot of things that could become golden calves. But what I will say is that, to close, I will say if Jesus himself, if God himself calls you to give up something that may be near and dear to you, something that may be important to you, and like the song we sang, I give myself away, my life is not my own, to you I belong, will you be able to answer the call? Let's pray. God, O Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for your word that went forth, oh Father. Lord, we just want to keep our eyes set on eternity. We want to keep our minds set on your will and your glory, oh Father, Lord. And Lord, we just continue, oh Father, Lord, to strive towards you, oh Father, Lord, just to magnify you and glorify you, oh Father, Lord. And we pray that we will be extremely sensitive to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, that we may obey and do your will. In all these things we ask, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And God bless you.